Exposing Satan's Attempt to Divide and Conquer, next on Sound Doctrine.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
We have seen it so often in the church, the family, neighborhood, even in this nation: division. And it's not hard to see the damage that's left behind. People no longer talking to one another. Church splits, divorce, and on I could go. So how does God feel about it? How can we avoid it? Let's look into it today, shall we? Here on Sound Doctrine as Pastor Jeff Johnson nears the completion of his study in Romans. We're in chapter 16 now.
Still in Romans chapter 16. Seems like we'll never get out, but we're still there. Romans chapter 16, we left off with verse 17. This is Paul's final warning with promise. So his warning with promise. This is his last will and testament, so to speak. These last things are the most important things. So he's signing off this epistle to those that are in Rome, and to those of us that are in L.A. today, this morning. This is his signing off to us also, because we've been on this journey. We've gone through the epistle. So he's kind of signing off to us. I like verse 16 of Romans chapter 16. He says, "Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." Again, he's signing off here and just saying, hey, this is an outward show of an inward unity, and I love you guys, and I want you to love one another and be unified in these things. It's so important. Unity is something that Jude warned that the enemy would try to break it up. Jude actually said these guys are going to come in. They're going to be spots in your love feast. You know, it's like when you go to the doctor and you say, "Doctor, what's wrong?" And he comes out and he says, "There's a spot on your lung." You say, "What? There's a spot on your lung." "Oh, no." Well, you know what that means. We got to get that out. It's not good to have a spot on your lung in your body. And so this is what we're going to be talking about this morning. These spots in our love feast that somehow, some way, find their way into us. Unity is very important. But I'll tell you this, unity is not to be shrugged off because, you know, it's at any expense. In other words, there's some people that say peace, you know, and unity at any expense. In other words, throw out truth, throw out doctrine. No. That's wrong. Because we're to contend for the faith. We're to be in sound doctrine. We're to keep sound doctrine. And we're to contend for it. We're to fight for it. Because the enemy will always try to come against the truth and kind of twist it and pervert it. He's very deceitful and he knows how to make division. So this is Paul's warning. This is his wise counsel to us this morning. In verse 17 of Romans 16, he says, "Now I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." So he's saying, I beg you, mark them, name them is what he's saying. And over in 2 Timothy, and I'm going to be sharing with you quite a few scriptures this morning. And for those of you students, I would really want to encourage you to jot these scriptures down, because these are scriptures you're going to want to look up again. You're going to want to know where they're at. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul talks to young Timothy in verse 15. Listen to what he says. You don't have to turn there. He says, this is 2 Timothy 2, 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as a canker, doth a canker eat, like a cancer, like gangrene. Of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrown the faith of them. So these guys are named by Paul to Timothy. Why? Because everybody needs to know about these guys. They're perverting the truth. They're sharing lies. They're confusing people. And they need to be made known. This is why expository teaching, what is that? Expository teaching. It is simply going through the Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse. It's very important. Why? Because it helps us to keep everything in context. We're not to pull scriptures out of context and throw them out. We're to always keep them in what is being said and talked about. So when you're doing it like I'm doing it this morning, going through verse by verse in Romans, I am taking some scriptures out, but they're in context. And if you don't believe me, you got to just read what's before it and what's after it, and you'll see that it's in context. But the reason for going verse by verse is to share with us what does the Bible say about this certain situation? What does God say? And when you keep it in context, you don't have the perversion then. You don't have the twisting. And there's so much of that going on today. So we have to be careful. To describe today's church, I think the books that have been written recently describe it in its what's going on with it. Books like The Seduction of Christianity. That's pretty serious. Christianity in Crisis. Wow. An Agony in Deceit. These are books that have been written, and these guys that wrote these books name names of people that are twisting the truth, that are perverting the gospel, who are liars, and they name names, and they we have to put their quotes in their book and what these guys have said. So there's a lot of deception going on. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes, and we've been studying this on Wednesday nights. You guys get a chance, go through the series that we're doing and just get the CDs on Wednesday nights. But we just finished Ephesians 4 verse 11. Where he gave some apostles, some prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. And he says why. He says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the teaching, so they would be perfected. For the work of the ministry, for the building up the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith, into a perfect, mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we're lining ourselves up with him. We're following Jesus. We're learning about him. And then the next verse, verse 14, he says that we henceforth be no more children. And this is little children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I mean, there's some cunning craftiness going on today. These guys that are bringing out these false doctrines and teaching them and writing books about them and pushing them into the church. So Paul says simply, this is what you need to do. You mark them, and then what does he say at the end of the verse? He says what? Avoid them. Mark them, stay away from them. Just flat out avoid them. In 2 Thessalonians, and I told you I was going to give you a lot of scriptures, so hopefully you got a pen. Borrow one if you need to. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. He says that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. So if there's anybody leading you astray, anybody teaching you something different than what you've been taught, what you've been receiving, Avoid that guy. Withdraw from him. You don't need to contend with him. Just let it go, man. I mean, if he's on that trip, you just stay away from it. It's dangerous. Why? Well, over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, listen to what Paul says to Timothy. Now, he says, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, in the last days, we're there now, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Man, that's some serious stuff. Seducing spirits, doctrines of devils? That's demonic. That means all this deception and all this sowing of bad seed and everything, it's all from the enemy. It's all from Satan and his workers, his ministers, which the Bible talks about. Listen, it is easier to stomp out a spark than a fire, right? So that's what he's telling us. Get the spark out, man. Put it out. Get away from it. You don't need it. It could cause a fire in your life. You don't need that. So get the spark out. Ephesians 5:11. Mark that down. Ephesians 5, verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So you're not going to hang with these people. You're not going to fellowship with them. But, you know, reprove them. Tell them what you feel, and then move on. Avoid them. If they're listening, though, hey, you could save a brother from the snare of the enemy, right? That's what Paul says to Timothy. You can save a brother from going off into the lie, man, and getting their lives all messed up. So reprove them. You can't reprove anybody unless you have something to say, right? That's why we're here this morning. We're here to, in Bible study, so we can become disciples, so we can know the word, so we can share the word with those around us, so we can reprove those that are going off and going astray. You know, on the job site, you know, this guy comes up to you and throws up all over you about something weird, and you're just going, whoa, that's off the wall. Where'd you get that? Oh, man, that's true, man. I heard it. And you know, you're going, hey, wait a minute. That's not what the Bible says. And then you take your time with them. Remember, Priscilla and Aquila had Apollos, and Apollos was confused about what was being taught. And they took him aside and patiently shared with him, you know, the fullness of the whole thing, and he got it, man. You just need to take time with some people. Loving, you know. And not trying to be a big shot and say, hey, I know the Bible. Let me tell you. You know, no. In meekness, you go to that brother. And you seek to, you know, see him pulled out of the snare of the enemy. So there's seven things that the Bible says that God hates in Proverbs chapter 6. One of the things that God hates of those seven things is he that sows discord among the brethren. He that is pushing this stuff, he that is sowing this stuff, and stuff that they receive from somebody that's off, and so they're off now, and they push it along. God hates it. He doesn't want it in the fellowship. So the only recourse that I can see is to disfellowship someone who is being stubborn, who is not listening, not changing, but wanting to go on and do more damage. And we've had to do it a couple of times. We've had to literally ask somebody to leave because they kept on making trouble and they wouldn't stop. They're just kind of like the enemy's, you know, pawns. They were just put here just to cause trouble and cause many to be, you know, confused and bewildered. And there's little skirmishes going on here and there. We come to find out it's the same person. And then we talk with them, we counsel with them. They don't want to hear, they don't want to listen. And so, well, you know, you're a spot in our love feast, man. I mean, you're really, you could be a problem. So maybe you need to find somewhere else to go. And it's hard. It's not easy. But that's what he's talking about. Don't fellowship with them. Don't. In fact, over in Acts chapter 20, listen to this. Paul, very concerned with all these elders that he's teaching. He gives them this message and he says, in verse 29 of Acts 20, for I know this, and this is right when he's going to leave them, that after my departing shall grievous wolves, that's what he calls them, grievous wolves. They'll enter in among you, not sparing the flock. I mean, these guys are just going to come and grab them and take them away. Also, he says, of your own selves shall men arise. That's scary. Right in our own midst, there's going to be a plant of the enemy. And he's going to try to do his damage. Is there someone here like that this morning? Yeah. Right now, they're here. And they're plants. Why do you say that, Jeff? Well, because we're in a warfare. And when you're in a warfare, you got war going on even within the body of Christ. And so they're right within us. Men will arise of your own selves, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. And now, guys, I give you to the word. I give you to God's word, which I have been teaching you. I know that it will build you up. It will keep you safe. And I love that. Paul just kind of leaving them with the word, saying, I'm going to leave, but if you just stay close to the word, you're going to be all right. You're going to be fine. Now, Jesus warned. Paul warns. He warns Timothy many times, Titus. Jude warns in his little epistle. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, jot that one down. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Paul saying, I'm afraid, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Oh, I just love the way he puts things. As a serpent, you know, the enemy, Satan, beguiled Eve, deceived Eve through his subtlety. So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, it's so simple, a child can understand it. And yet the enemy wants to make it confusing. He wants to make it so, it's too big a book. I can't get into this book. It's too much. It's overwhelming, you know. No, it's very simple. You just take your Bible and you start marking it. You start knowing where it's at. You go back to that spot. You keep reading it. You keep desiring it more and more, like a baby for sincere milk, that you might grow thereby. And you're going to get strong. And you're going to start to share it with others. You're actually becoming a disciple. A mature man, woman of God. Not a child tossed to and fro with all these weird things that are going on. No. I always go back to the word. Find out what God says. If this is true or not. To be as a Berean. The Bereans would listen to a guy like me, and they'd just be sitting back checking me out, you know. And then they'd say, I don't know if I believe what he just said. Well, when I go home, I'll do me a little study. I'm going to check out the word to see if this guy's on or not. I love that. The Bereans, man, they dug deep. They said, no one's going to deceive me. No one's going to lay a trip on me. I'm not going to be deceived. I love what he says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 7 and 9. Listen to this. Galatians chapter 1, verse 7 and 9. He says, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ, he says. But then he says, for though we or an angel from heaven, Angel Moroni or anybody, preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, or in the Greek it's damned. Let him be damned. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be damned. That's straightforward stuff. It's clear. Now, let's go back to our text, Romans 16, verse 18. He continues, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. That's what they serve. By good works and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple, of the innocent. These are not of my Jesus, is what Paul is saying. These have another gospel. Their gospel is money. Money talks to them. They like the sound of it. That's what they're into. And you can tell by what they talk about. They're out for themselves. They're deceivers. They rip off the innocent. I love what Jesus says. Every time we go over to Israel and we're there at Capernaum. Capernaum is right by the Sea of Galilee. And there in Capernaum, they show a millstone and how an ox would go around and move that millstone, and they put the grain underneath it. It would crush it. Jesus said this in Matthew 18, verse 6. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. That's my prayer, Jesus said. I mean, he's a hitman now, you know. You mess with one of my little ones, it'd be better for you just to put that millstone. It's about 400 pounds. And I always bring them over to show them the millstone because, man, that's what Jesus meant. This millstone around his neck, you put it over his head, throw him into the Galilee. And he's swimming with the fishes. He's gone. That's the seriousness of this. There's an old Gallup poll that was taken. They said 80% of the nation in this poll claim that they believe. 80% of this nation? 72% believe in the Lord's return, and yet less than 60% said that they were ready and prepared for his coming. When I thought of the 80%, that's bogus, man. That's wrong. 80%, come on. There's a difference between those that are truly born again and those that are one day going to cry, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? And he's going to say to them, hey, you unfaithful and slothful servants, you know, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You never knew me. You never had a relationship with me. There's a lot of people in our world today that don't have a relationship with the Lord. Now, you might look at all the religious groups and maybe say that, but there's a big difference between those that have a relationship and those that just have religion. And I'll tell you this, religion will never save you. Jesus saves. That's it. So I thought that was an interesting poll. And then Paul says, these serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the personal relationship. He's my Jesus. These aren't serving my Jesus. There are many in the church. They're called liberals. They're all over the place. There's many different denominations and goes on and on and on. And there's many that don't believe in the virgin birth of Christ. You know, I mean, that shocks some people, but, you know, other people say, I don't know. I don't know if I believe in it. You know, virgin birth, that's pretty whack. They don't believe in miracles. Nothing. None. They say, the feeding of the 5,000? No, that never happened. All those guys have these big sleeves, and they're all hiding their lunches because they do that back there because they don't want anybody to know they had a lunch because they'll, you know, they go off by themselves and have their lunch. And so what everybody did, they pulled their lunches out of their sleeves and everybody ate. And that's how it happened. Whew. And they don't believe. They're called modernists. Mainline churches. It's amazing.
Well, we're examining Paul's final warning with promise today on Sound Doctrine. Pastor Jeff Johnson will finish up this epistle next week. Remember, you can access these daily studies by visiting our website. Log on to sounddoctrineradio.org. To purchase the CD, call 800-353-7553. Again, we're here to serve you at 800-353-7553. We also have a podcast available, and that's available on Stitcher, Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. You know, it's always a good idea to consider and, if need be, rekindle our devotional life, especially here at the beginning of a new year. And we've got a great Devo to share with you today. You're sure to enjoy. It's been written by Calvary pastors like Skip Heitzig, Joe Foch, Jeff Johnson, Greg Laurie, Raul Reese, and more. It's a daily devotional with Calvary Chapel pastors. I know you'll be blessed and encouraged as you start your day hearing from the Lord. Order it now by calling 800-353-7553 or online at sounddoctrineradio.org. And we'd appreciate your support as we kick off another year of delivering sound doctrine through the radio and the internet. As we continue to present God's good news on this station of yours, we look to the Lord to provide. And maybe that provision will come through you. Again, go to sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. Thank you for listening to Sound Doctrine, the daily presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey, made possible through your generosity. So, Father,